B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Play Joe Montana. He never moved. He was like a robot going up there.
Poker face.
And you never knew what he was going to do. Carson has these tells. The running back, Sanders, has tells. That's why he gets 2 yards a carry Sunday night. The offensive line has tells. They need to mix it up.
Where's Press Taylor and all that then? Where's our quarterback coach and all that?
You know, it comes... Somebody needs to tell Carson, look, you're showing your hand every time you come to the line. Every time you do this certain thing, every time you look left, then look right, it's this play. Every time you grab your shoulder pad, it's this play. Every time you put your mouthpiece in with your right hand, it's this play.
All right,
it's
Dave,
all these little human things.
Yeah, this is good stuff, David. Thanks for the call.
It's a great idea.
You're listening to 975 The Fan at WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. Now, this has happened in football. I know it gets talked about a lot in baseball, pitchers tipping pitches and all that stuff.
Right.
But... I mean, I remember Antonio Brown. I got to give the guy credit. Chris Collinsworth found this out. Every time Antonio Brown, early on in his career, was running out for on a passing play, and he was the number one target, which of course he was, he would adjust his gloves to the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
He would pull his gloves tighter at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Is there anything more obvious than that? Mm-hmm. Every time it was a run and he was going to be blocking, his hands would just be at his side. But every time it was a passing play, and most of it will be going to him, he would tug his gloves. What are you seeing from the Eagles here? Are you seeing what our man Dave was seeing?
See, when I go in and I watch our games, I look more at the other teams, but there could be something that's there. I'm pretty sure, like, everybody has a little tail. Everybody has something that they're giving away. Now, all of that stuff there, when I'm not paying attention to Carson's shoulder shrug and all of that, I remember when I was breaking down film for the defense and I was looking at Eli a lot, he had some of those tails as well. So, you know, some players do have tails like that.
All right. Now, coming up a little bit later this hour, we'll let you hear from Rodney McLeod as he joined us a couple of weeks ago. He's got a great event going, the AACR Foundation Race to 23,000. Race to 23,000. K for Cancer Research. Rodney McLeod will explain that in a second, as heard a couple of weeks back here. Tim in the Outer Banks, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tim?
It's funny you guys brought that last topic up because I was looking at that myself. And before you get too far into it, look in the past of what he's doing, because I thought the same thing a couple weeks ago. There's really no correlation to the shoulder grab, mouthpiece out thing. I swear, go look at it.
All right.
Second thing is this, is... I think part of what's happening in the first quarter with the Eagles when they're trying to get started is they're not taking into consideration adrenaline. So what I mean by that is when a team comes on the field, the first drive, a lot of times you can ask probably Trey and other players, your adrenaline is so high that it's hard to get focused for those first, like, probably 7 or 8 snaps to settle into the game. That, a lot of times, is not good for an offense that's trying to get into a rhythm because they're so high that they're not thinking as clearly as they should. And with a defense, the defense a lot of times is a dog mentality. That benefits them because they're so high that they're reacting so much faster. The way to do that, and I know this sounds pretty generic, but it's true, they got to establish the run early to settle everyone down. Mm. So everyone, the whole tagline nowadays in football is the pass sets up the run now. Yeah. It is not, I mean, if you talk to any offensive coordinator, at least most of them, that establish a rhythm early, doesn't mean you have to do it more throughout the game. But that run settles the offense down, gets them into a rhythm. You don't have to think as much on some easier runs, things of that nature, to get settled into the game. Let the adrenaline settle in.
Tim, you make a great point, and look how many times it's been used against the Eagles defense where other teams on will run misdirection.
And that's
because that defense is so overhyped. Yeah, good point by you.
They can't get anything in the first quarter because Doug's not allowing his offense to settle in. Their adrenaline is so high, passes are hot, receivers are off. On offense, you're thinking about so much precision in what you're doing that your adrenaline is not letting your mind focus as much. On defense, like I said, it's different. You're reacting. That adrenaline is making you faster, quicker, react to the ball. Second thing is this. If I told you guys last week Atlanta scores 24 points, what do you think happens at the end of the game? What would you say?
I said the Eagles win that game.
Correct. everyone's on the defense, and there's flaws all over the place. But as a whole, I'm feeling like as you look at the whole game, the coaching aspect, and I hate to say this about Doug because he's been phenomenal, but he's not protecting his defense. I love the fact that Schwartz is blitzing, and when you're not allowing to run the ball, you're losing time management.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right, Tim. You bring some great points. Appreciate it, man. But I think everyone would agree that because of the hit that the offense took before the game with no Goddard, with no Alshon Jeffrey and no DeSean Jackson, your game plan was cut. And you heard Doug Peterson yesterday talk about how if you saw his play sheet, there were just X's through things. There were just lines through things.
But still came out with a pass.
Go figure.
Yeah, your first three plays, you only had one run play. Your first pass was complete to Ertz, and then you had an inside zone that really, Sanders was messing around a little too much, and then you had a play action that was incomplete, and that's where you got the defensive holding.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you came back and you ran. You tried to run two runs, and then another incomplete pass to Nelly.
So still out of sync. If you would think that if you were losing those targets that you would actually run the ball a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and that obviously wasn't the case as you're pointing out. But I'm just saying that whatever his plan was, apparently it was more planned to pass. There was more planned going into the game to pass than you actually did, which is just crazy considering Carson was slinging it how many times in that game.
He's 43 passes.
That's a lot of passes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of passes. Even if you're not getting it going on the ground, there's still a lot of passes to default to. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. As we have mentioned earlier, now, before I get this, I just want to say after this, we're going to get back into the Jalen Ramsey discussion about adding him, because there's two other players that Howie Roseman's missed out on so far that could have helped this defense significantly and still has not chosen to go there. So we have a couple of minutes here of... Rodney McLeod joined us a couple of weeks ago to talk about the AACR Foundation race to $23,000 for cancer research. Rodney McLeod has been a champion of this cause for quite some time, and talked to us.
Was, you know, like a second mother to me. Unfortunately, you know, she passed away my senior year in high school. And that was a pivotal point in my life. Headed going into college, and one of her biggest goals was just to see me graduate high school, but then go on to college and then pursue my NFL career. And not here to see me accomplish any of that. So this is my way of showing my gratitude and how much she means to me. And she's always close to my heart. So I got with Mitch and AACR, man, and we kind of just been at it since I came here to Philadelphia. So it's good to be a part of it, man. We're raising awareness for not only pancreatic cancer, which, my grandmother passed away of, but, all forms and types, man. And we just try and fund money for research. That's what it's ultimately about, trying to find a cure for cancer for a lot of people like myself and other families.
Rodney, I hear so much about the race for $23,000. Yeah. What exactly is that?
It's pretty much a campaign I started last year. I thought closely and I'm like, okay, how can I, raise money, not solely, something separate from my fundraiser event, but an ongoing throughout the season campaign to just raise as much money as possible for research. And so I thought about it and I'm like, hey, well, number 23, I think it'll be a great fit, but also it ties into what I do on the field. I've taken initiative to for every sack, interception, tackle for a loss that I create, I'll be donating $1,000 to the campaign. And then I just encourage, everyone out there to get involved. I think last year I had some merchandise for people to purchase as well. A lot of people helped, which funded and contributed to the campaign as well. But everybody just got behind it, man, and understanding the importance of research and how it can ultimately change a lot of people's lives out here.
I was riding McLeod a couple of weeks ago, and you can go to 975thefanatic.com/donate to donate money to the 23K for Cancer Research. When you donate to the AACR, you're entered to win a contest with ESPN's Ultimate Birds Fan Experience, which includes two tickets to a Monday Night Football game December 9th, games against the Giants, tour of ESPN film truck, field passes, and a meet and greet with Rodney McLeod himself. To donate, go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. And Rodney obviously hits close to home, saying that he lost his grandmother to that. So that's a pretty awesome cause for Rodney to take up. We will obviously want to help Rodney McLeod with that cause. We also, on a football sense, want to help out Rodney McLeod in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You do that by adding a guy like, I don't know, Kadavion Clowney. Oh, wait, he's already gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
You do that by adding a guy like Minka Fitzpatrick. Oh, wait.
Yeah, he's gone too.
That just happened last night?
Yeah, it did.
That happened last night, unfortunately. And it wasn't that bad of a cost when you think about it. The Dolphins get in return from the Steelers a first-round pick this year in this coming draft, a fifth-round pick in this coming draft, and a 2021 sixth-round pick. Steelers in return, they get Minka Fitzpatrick, they get a fourth-rounder, and they get a sixth-rounder as well. That's not a bad price. So now go out there and get the other guy that's available. The other guy said he wants to trade. It's out there, and the Eagles certainly could use secondary help. Jalen Ramsey. That's the guy Howie's got to go get now. Because it's not going to look good for Howie, who makes those deals that all, you know, they wow everybody. You added a guy like Jay Ajayi in the backfield. That was a wow move. Golden Tate didn't have that immediate impact, but you added a veteran wide receiver. You got better, and he certainly helped you win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good move. Yeah, go out there and get Jalen Ramsey.
And they play Thursday night, Jacksonville does.
Yes, they do.
So you wonder if something happens, is it going to happen quick? Do they want to get rid of that stink of what went down on the sideline on Sunday before they're presented in front of a national audience?
You know who would know something
Thursday
about that?
Night.
Who would know something about that? Adam Schefter, tomorrow at 8 a.m. with us.
Wow. Right. That's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a nice little program.
Maybe we'll be talking about Jalen Ramsey already being here.
Oh, Bobby.
Oh, imagine that.
Bobby. By the way, those trade numbers there in terms of what was swapped came from Adam Schefter. He tweeted it out earlier this morning where the Dolphins get that first round pick from the Steelers in exchange for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Are the Steelers making a mistake? Like, there's a chance they're not very good.
Yeah, but that's where the control of the player comes in for the next 10 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I wanted Fitzpatrick over Ramsey.
Sure.
Because of the 3.5 years of control. But the Steelers could be bad? Question mark?
They could be.
Well, so you're kind of in a rebuild, and that's it. There you go. First round pick right there.
And I also saw that he's not going to need Tommy John surgery.
Oh, he's not.
Ben Roethlisberger. I saw something
earlier
this
morning. But he's still
done
for the
year? Still done for the year, but it's not necessarily Tommy John.
Well, hopefully that's his career. I've seen enough of that fat face.
Wow.
So he couldn't have her doing a nicer guy.
Oh, that's nice.
So he has a big boo-boo.
Pretty much, brother.
Okay.
Pretty much. Jalen Ramsey, you in? You with me?
Oh, yeah.
Damn
definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Bring him on.
What's the problem? That's all I'm saying.
The looming.
Get her done.
The looming extension is the problem.
Yeah. Howie's got it.
He's going to want big, big, big boy money.
Howie's got it.
You don't mind spending John Middleton money. Why do you mind spending?
Because that's an uncapped league.
So what?
See, that's kind of important when you deal with these things.
But here's the problem. Okay, so let's talk football. All right. Let's talk about the NFL.
From a pure player standpoint, he's phenomenal.
What are the Cowboys about to do? They're about to get crazy. They're about to get nuts when it comes to salaries with Dak Prescott and the money they've already shelled out.
Yeah, and they're going to have to pay Cooper, and they're going to have to pay Van Der Esch in probably a year or two.
How are we going to spend that money?
Byron Jones.
Go find a way to make it work and go spend that money.
I'd love them here. It's not as easy as it appears.
It is for Howie.
Well, stop being so grown up.
Yeah, why are you being so like
you're the guy that brought up diapers at 6 o'clock
Yeah, what
this
the hell,
morning.
Man? What the hell?
Come on.
Be a kid again. You know what I'm saying?
Believe
a
little
bit.
Go get him.
Believe a little bit. There we go. Mike in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great, brother.
Fantastic.
So I have a question about our secondary, but it means I have to talk about the Phillies, and I'm sorry to do that. But I feel like we spent a lot of the season sort of lying to ourselves about the Phillies pitching staff. And we spent the whole offseason thinking, oh, they'll be fine, they'll be great, we're going to score a lot of runs. And then we realized, no, our pitching is not good, and it's a problem. And I'm wondering if we did that with the secondary, too. You know, we spent a lot of time focusing on how good our offense was going to be. And I think maybe we just sort of trusted that the secondary was going to be fine, and now we're seeing that they're not. And have we been lying to ourselves, is my question.
I made the exact point 2 weeks ago, Mike. I said the exact same thing, almost verbatim.
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's not far off to think. You know, it's out of the box thinking, but you know, you could be onto something.
I mean, as a fan base, you know, we definitely overvalue our players, and you know, I'm thinking about in the off season how excited we were about how good the secondary looked, and these guys are going to take the next step. And I wonder if the rest of the league kind of looks over and says, "Yeah, you guys aren't that good. You think you are, but I don't know. I just feel like sometimes we lie to ourselves, and now what we're seeing is we don't have a Super Bowl defense."
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Thanks for the call. I had a lot more confidence in the secondary than I did the Phillies pitching staff. I mean,
rightfully so? Question mark?
But of this, yeah, but the only difference is, and it is a big difference, is that, I mean, you had one guy that in baseball, I don't know, would be the shutdown corner. Like, you had Aaron Nola. Okay.
Right.
They haven't won what? Five of his last starts? They're winless. So they've struggled as well in those starts for him.
Yeah.
But bottom line is you had somebody you could really rely on, somebody that was a proven commodity. You don't have that proven shutdown type corner with the Eagles. Far from it, as a matter of fact. So yeah, maybe you're a little bit more bullish on the pitching staff just because of that one guy, but one pitcher, starting pitcher, has more of an impact on a game than one starting corner.
Yeah.
But I just felt like you had okay guys. I don't feel like after Aaron Nola you even had okay guys.
Well, the hope was that they were going to be okay.
Hope, but not right. Confidence.
Well, you know, you say okay guys. Yeah, okay. But
exactly. So they made you go, okay.
Well, I think we were also kind of hoping that they were okay guys. I mean, you know, Darby, you hadn't seen enough to, I don't think, judge fully that they were okay. You were saying you think they can be okay, which is pretty much hoping they could be okay.
Avante Maddox, look, a rookie year. Go ahead and repeat that rookie year. I'll take that rookie year again.
Right.
Maybe a little bit of a step forward. Jalen Mills.
Well, there you go, right there.
Maybe a little bit.
Right, okay.
But even if he just did what he did last year, that's a good corner. That's a guy that made plays for you last year. And that's what you can ask for from a corner, is make those plays. Rasul Douglas, I thought he played very well towards the end of last year. Especially as he got some momentum, as he got more starts, got more reps. A guy like Sidney Jones was very disappointing. That was the one guy you were really hoping
for. But
Avante
Maddox, like, saved the season for you. You know, there was a lot of reason to have hope for him.
You had three turnovers forced in this game against the Falcons, right?
Nate Gary.
You could have had four. Because Malcolm Jenkins forced that fumble. Was it Austin Hooper that coughed it up? And you couldn't jump on that fumble. That would have been a big,
great play.
And don't forget, technically you could have had five. Fletcher Cox had one right through his hands.
That's right, yeah.
But
yeah.
You can't expect those guys.
I mean,
yeah, Trey knows, lower the bar.
Why can't you expect that? It was right in his hands.
I don't know.
He doesn't use his hands a lot.
I wasn't right in his hands. It was a little fingertip.
Look, this defense, they played better than I thought they would against the Falcons.
Well, yeah, like the caller said earlier, if you told me 2 weeks ago you'd hold the Falcons to 24 points, I go, oh, that's an easy win.
Yeah, but you lose three of your main targets going into that game. Like, you don't even get to experience them on the field even after more than a couple of plays.
And why the hell are we having three guys hurt in pregame?
That's the big question that keeps being asked.
That's really, really bizarre.
And it's on repeat right now with the Eagles as to why you keep losing so many different players throughout the early stages of games. Throughout the early stages of games, why you miss so many players with soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
And Trey, I know you're talking about the fast guy injuries, but they allude to the broadcast, as we also talked about yesterday, they allude to the broadcast to Fletcher Cox still dealing with his foot injury.
Yeah.
So, look, you're already down Malik Jackson. You're down Tim Jernigan for maybe 4 or 6 weeks. You're already down to Akeem Spence being in the game, Hassan Ridgeway, and now Fletcher Cox is banged up as well. Still? Where's the pressure going to come from? If you're going to help out the secondary, it's got to come from a pass rush. And historically, with Jim Schwartz, that has come from the defensive line getting pressure. So where's that going to come from now if you're, the interior defensive line, which was supposed to be the star of the show, is no longer going to be that for you?
Yeah, I'm going to go back and watch this film, because now the coach's film is out, and I can really sit down and see what was going on as far as pressure. And, you know, of course we see that, all right, it was the blitz or whatever, but I want to see what's going on. Like, is it Fletcher Cox getting doubled? Now, I know against Washington, there weren't a lot of double teams going his way. There were a lot of times where they just kind of let him go man on and let him have at it. But this week against, there couldn't have been that many double teams if you were blitzing as much as you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So
no, Fletcher needs to be better.
Yeah, we got to go see what where the breakdown is. What's going on? Where's BG? Where's Barnett and all of this? But again, I mean, when you have pass plays that, you know, those first 10 plays, only two of them went over 2 seconds. Yeah.
I think Barnett had four hurries Sunday and three the week before, four knockdowns, whatever the hell you want to call it.
What, quarterback hits?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to get there. Yeah. I mean, I understand your point. Nobody's getting there in 3 seconds, but sheesh, somebody's got to step up.
They most certainly have to step up. Let's go back to the injuries, because we have been looking for a reason for soft tissue injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little conspiracy theory earlier, didn't we?
Yeah.
For the people that didn't hear the conspiracy. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Uh-huh. Jamie, just a little bit louder on this one. The conspiracy theory that I got from a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. Totally credible. He's a trainer. Not with the Eagles, but he's a trainer. And he said that they opened the roof too late in Atlanta, causing a shift in temperature and causing guys to cramp up a little bit, Trey.
Okay.
And that's why Dallas Goedert, Alshon Jeffrey, and DeSean Jackson had a little soft tissue problem before the game.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
No credibility?
No, it does nothing for me.
It does less than nothing.
My friend's a trainer.
Okay.
That was his conspiracy theory.
All right. Yeah.
Pickle juice. This is what we've come to, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to trying to explain soft tissue injuries that have been going nuts on the Eagles over the last couple of years.
Let me ask you, fast guy injuries. As veterans of Sunday Night Football, does television have anything to do with opening and closing of roofs?
Not to my knowledge.
From what I understand, it's up to the stadium. Because I remember this coming up as an issue when they opened up the Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium, actually before it was AT&T Stadium, because they were waiting that extra year to get the most money to buy. But they wanted to show off the stadium, so they wanted to show the roof open, right? And that was up to the stadium. A TV, I think, will make a request. Probably won't even be a request. It'll just be, hey, can we? Will you open the roof? You know, can we get the roof open? Like, well, hey, it'd be nice if you had the roof open, whatever it might be. But it won't be the TV saying, "Hey, you're opening the roof."
Okay.
Ultimately, that's up to the team in the stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately,
have you been in stadiums where they open and close roofs?
Yeah, I've been to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Were you in there when it was open and then they closed it, or vice versa?
I think the only one I was actually in was Cowboy Stadium. While they were opening or closing it. I forget which they were doing.
Any problem with soft tissue?
My leg hurt a little.
Did it?
Okay. Just a little bit.
Hamstring, groin,
but I hit it on
calf?
The armrest getting off the plane, so maybe that's what it was.
Could have been.
Yeah. No, but then again, I'm not going full speed either. I don't know. There's no explanation for why the Eagles are riddled with soft tissue. Like, Jeff McClain tried to get to it at the bottom of last year.
And Doug was happy that he went that
out. Oh, Doug just loved it. And he said, we did a whole study on this. You guys didn't get the study? And Jeff McClain's like, I never get the study. And Doug said, oh, well, we'll get to the study. So I followed up with Jeff after the press conference a couple days later. I go, did you ever get that study? He goes, yeah, they never gave that to me. Like, there's no explanation for this, so now we got to come up with conspiracy theories about why the soft tissue injuries are happening, and especially like this, so close to game time. Now, Dallas Goedert was troubled with a little calf injury in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little bit of an issue. I can understand. Doug said yesterday that if they actually did have a playoff scenario or a win, must-win game type of thing at the end of the season, and they had these injuries, those guys would actually play. He goes, I'm confident they'd actually go out there and they'd play. But it was something that you don't want them to blow out a calf. You don't want them to blow out a hamstring or further a risk of injury so early in the season where you don't know for the next, 14, 15 games, you could have this ailing them.
Yeah, you don't want it to happen in the preseason, which is what September has become for the Philadelphia Eagles.
This is awesome where you have this type of mentality where it's like, all right, if you're not feeling right, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
that's I went into a lot of games not feeling right.
Yeah, but you started every damn one of them.
183.
That's why you are Zeus.
Get on out there.
That's why you are Zeus.
Big can of thunder.
610-632-0. Oh, by the way, how did everything go okay with the park?
Oh, yeah, the park. Yeah, everything went through.
It's Trey Wyatt Thomas.
Will
be Trey Thomas Park.
Trey Thomas Park.
Yeah. Nice.
And DeLand, Florida?
Yeah, in DeLand, Florida. The park I grew up on.
And we don't know ceremonies yet.
It's going to be in January, right around Martin Luther King's birthday.
All right, so we're flying down then.
We shall have a dream.
We're doing a
remote from Trey Thomas Park.
And as a caller suggested, I'm going to write my name on a swing.
There you go.
There we go. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear, Donovan McNabb has been criticized on this show for not talking about Carson Wentz enough. When I've teed him up for Carson Wentz conversation, he skirted the issue. Even when he plays well, skirted the issue. Well, he kind of gave Carson a big excuse. It could be deducted, I guess, from Donovan's conversation yesterday that, a bit of an excuse built in for Carson Wentz. We'll talk about that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Plus, we got Julius, we got Chris. Open lines after that, 610-632-0975.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Bob Cody right there covering it all, ladies and gentlemen.
It's what we do. I did a gross fantasy thing.
What'd you do?
We picked up Dak.
Do you hate yourself?
A little bit.
Yeah, I would too.
But I couldn't deny
he's
putting up a lot of points.
Can I tell you something just between you and I? I'm going to tell myself, I'm going to turn my mic off to say this.
Okay.
That's a really good move, Jamie.
All right, there
thanks,
we go.
Mark.
That doesn't count. I didn't say it in my mind.
I'm Saquon Barkley, so I don't
know. Well, that's a little different.
Yeah, that's right. It's a no threat.
Yeah,
like the Cowboys are going to be look. I know they played nobody.
Yeah, well, he's playing the Dolphins this weekend, so I was like, yoink.
Their first game, real game, is actually I think week 9. That'll be a fun one. Let's get to Julius before we get to the Donovan McNabb sound. Let's get to Julius in Warminster. What's up, Julius?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Well, I'm about to say something that all Eagle fans don't want to hear.
Oh yeah,
I'm an Eagle fan.
All right, go ahead. Just shoot me. Hit me with the honesty.
Thank you to the Falcons because they woke us up.
Oh, this is the Chiefs game you're talking about from 2 years ago.
It's kind of sort of. I'm going to say it like this. I think they went out there believing that we the greatest show on turf, part two, and you thinking you're going to be able to run free after you catch a pass, and they put a helmet on us every chance they got. So that's part of the reason why we got all the injuries. And the other half is they just showed us that we're not what we thought we was. Mm-hmm. And the only person that kind of woke up in that game was Carson Wentz because of the beating that he took, and he kept getting up, and then he kept on fighting, kept throwing the Aguilar. That woke us up. So when these guys come back, they're going to realize we're not just going to run free down the field, brace for impact. Teams realize we got something special, so they're going to put a hat on us every game. So we need to play up to that intensity. And we came out flat.
I like it. No, I'll take it. I'll buy anything. As at this point, after a loss, I'll take any explanation you got for
sure,
me.
Sure, why not?
I mean, sir.
I mean, it's not nothing.
No, sometimes.
They might have gotten humbled.
Some people. You see a locker room celebrating the way the Falcons were celebrating?
That helps.
That's a little extra added motivation. I know it's the Lions, it's not the Falcons this week, but still, that lets you know, all right, the team thinks that they can celebrate like that, they can rub it in our faces like that, put that video out there. Well, first off, I feel pretty good because that's how much you want to celebrate when you beat me. I know I'm pretty damn good.
Well, yeah, that's the other part of it, is every team is going to view you as a potential Super Bowl threat, and that's how much it means to them.
Look, I know it was one of the most popular Hard Knocks ever, and one of the reasons was because Rex Ryan was such a, divisive figure. With all the cursing and all that stuff. One of the things he said was, it was the year, I think, right before they went to their second AFC championship game. And he said something that just rings true with every single team in any sport. It's not about being the team that sneaks up on everybody. It's about being the best team and knowing that when you show up, you're getting everybody's A game. That's how the Eagles have to approach this season.
Yeah.
Because they are a favorite to go to the Super Bowl. They are a favorite to be at least a team to make it to the second or third round of the playoffs in the NFC, at least the conference championship game. So they have to know they're getting everybody's best effort, even without guys. And look, if you were going to look at a game and blame injury for the main reason why you lost, I hate to do it, but this is a game where you can go, well, yeah, the injuries, though. And that really factors in because of the targets that you did lose. Now, did I blame injuries yesterday? No. It was more about the plays that you should have made on the field because it was a very winnable game despite the injuries.
Absolutely.
But they were missing some pretty key contributors here.
Hey, coming up, I just got a text. A certain number 36, the last name Westbrook.
Oh, yeah?
He wants to call in. So I told him we'll call him at 45 after the hour here, after our next break. No idea what it's about, so we'll find out.
Done.
Yeah.
All right.
I know what it's about.
No, tell B-West to hold on to me, right? No, we'll have a conversation, because I know...
Maybe he had a problem with Trey's birthday gift. I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, I'm kidding.
What'd you give him? Did you give him 40 bucks in quarters?
I have a problem. I wasn't invited to the party.
That is true.
So, sounds like you guys got to hash it out.
You're the bigger man.
I still gave him a gift.
Trey Thomas, good man.
That's nice of you.
I wasn't invited to the party. There were pictures taken. Hors d'oeuvres.
I love hors d'oeuvres.
I like hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah. I like hors d'oeuvres.
Delicious.
I don't understand during any war or peace, like any talks, like during war, like just send some bacon wrapped scallops in there. You tell
some
me.
Some pigs in a blanket?
You tell me if there's a problem after
there's
that.
There's no war with pigs in a blanket.
You tell me there's a problem after one hors d'oeuvre tray walks around.
By the way, scallops wrapped in bacon was my only request at our wedding. I was like, we need scallops wrapped in bacon. That's the only thing I require.
And they were delicious. They were absolutely delicious. Let's get the Donovan sound here, because I wanted to play this. Here's the MO. And tell me if I'm wrong. And Jamie, you're like me. Bob, you covered the whole thing. Trey, you were his teammate. But Donovan's reputation, and I've said this myself, and when he went back months ago and said the thing about Carson Wentz, if the Eagles don't win with Carson in the playoffs over the next couple of years, they're going to have to trade Carson Wentz. They're going to have to move on from Carson Wentz. Like, nobody wanted to hear that from Donovan. Because it makes you seem as if you're almost rooting for the demise of the quarterback so you could be right. Right. That's how people take it. And they always look at Donovan as somebody who's jealous. So Carson has really his worst half of football in quite some time. And Donovan, over the course of the interviews that we've done with him, the three that we've done starting the season, he's stayed away from talking about Carson. But here, he almost sounds like he's making an excuse for why Carson and the offense played so poorly in that first half. Take a listen.
I just think the experience factor of not being able to play over the last couple of weeks of the season, going through that offseason of rehabbing, and then all of a sudden not playing in the preseason, it's going to be a rough start for this football team because your quarterback just hasn't gotten to the flow of things.
Now, Carson didn't play a lot of college. He hasn't played a lot in the pros because he's missed time with injury. He's missed 6 games over the last 2 years, more so, actually. What, 5 games last year, first 2 games in the final 3. So he hasn't been getting those reps, and he hasn't been playing in the preseason the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan, like...
Nailed it.
I don't know if he nailed it. I mean, that's why he feels he's not making the plays that he should be making in the early goings of games. I feel like that's an excuse for the guy. But for a guy that is labeled as a hater, he comes off more, and I'm not saying he is, but he comes off more as an apologist for Carson in that regard.
Yeah.
Well, I think when
give him
we...
Time.
Give him time. When people said he was a hater, I think we all agreed we'd say, no, he's kind of just pointing out something maybe that you don't want to hear as a Carson fan. Well, now that he's pointing out something that is kind of... I think he's just a truth speaker when it comes to it all. I think he's cautious.
Yeah.
But I think he looked into it, and this is what he actually, really honest to God, sees.
It's interesting.
Don't you think he should be cautious, though?
I do. But I'm surprised that he knows that he needs to be cautious.
Yeah. I think the moral of the story is go get Jalen Ramsey. No matter how you slice it with the Eagles right now, go get Jalen Ramsey. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Brian Westbrook. How about that? How many early 2000s Eagles can we talk to in 1 second? Trey, hello.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, Donovan McNabb, hello again. There we go. And maybe Brian Westbrook, just to come up in a couple
little
of minutes.
Boots!
Lil Boots, coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget about the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Saves you money with a $50 gift certificate to the pub in Pensauken for just $25. It's half the price. Hurry, this exclusive offer from the Fanatic's Deal of the Week is only available while supplies last. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal on the line with us right now. man I saw last night, man I listened to last night, doing a phenomenal job on the program, Mr. Brian Westbrook joins us. B. West, what's happening?
Little Boots!
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. I had to call in this one. I'm out here riding my bike, trying to shed some pounds, but I'm listening to the show, and I had to call in. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone at the station that came out to our show last night. Me and Devon had a great show, but we had great company last night from the marketing and sales team, everyone at 97.5, so I certainly appreciate that. Week one, last week, Bob Cooney and his beautiful wife came to the show. Yesterday, I was blessed to have Big Dog, Trey Thomas, at the show, as well as Mark Frazetta. You know what? Nothing's like having a show and having your family, your friends come to the show and support you. I certainly wanted to call in and tell you how much I appreciate that. Thank you so much, guys.
Oh, my man.
Hey, so you're riding a bike. So, so are you the type of guy that put on all spandex? Or are you, you know?
No. I go short. I can't get into the spandex. That's not me. I got a hoodie on. That's it.
Oh, come on, dog. You got to go on ahead, man. If you go, you got to be aerodynamic out there, man.
Jeez.
Big Can of Thunder puts on all spandex, dog, and get at it.
Hey, Trey, let me tell you this. I will buy you a bike if you'll put it on the outfit. I'll buy you a bike myself.
He wears the outfit.
Oh, yeah, I already had an outfit, man.
I'll take the bike. I need one.
I ride all the time, man. Actually, that's what I'm doing today when I get out, man. Hey, I put the spandex on and go get at it, man.
B-West.
I gotta be aerodynamic.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Our pleasure. I'm sorry I just missed Trey, but it was absolutely my pleasure. His pleasure, actually. You go out there and see you at Cherry Hill, PJ Willihan's. Always good catching up with you, man. Good talking to you. And talking to you last night, I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, my man might turn 40, but he can still play the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, it may look like that, but these knees and these ankles and this head of mine, they do not feel like they can play the game at all. Every time I watch a football game, I sit there and say, I can't believe that these guys are out there doing that for a living, because it looks more and more dangerous every year. The longer that you're out of the game, the more the contact looks nasty and more you just don't want to do it. And so I certainly don't think I can do it anymore.
That's funny.
Stick,
man,
to the bike ride.
That's funny. I had that same conversation with the missus over the weekend. I'm like, man, I used to play this game for a long time.
It looks nasty out there. It's nasty out there. These guys are nasty and physical. And it's not a game to be playing for a long time, and I'm glad that I'm out of it.
I got to ask you a football question, B-West, while we have you. Jalen Ramsey, you in? You in? You getting him?
Well, here's the question. Let's say that the answer is you got to give up two first-round picks, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, think of the last couple first-round picks we had. Would you be willing to trade for a shutdown corner for that? To me, a shutdown corner is an invaluable piece that you can use, especially in a defense that now wants to blitz a little bit more. That's the guy that you can put on Julio. That's the guy that you can put on Odell Beckham Jr. and D-Hop down there in Houston and say, we're going to try to shut him down. To me, that's a great piece. I would certainly entertain it depending on what the offer has to be to get him.
All right. I think I'd go with you there. If you get that shutdown corner, B-West, I'm all about it. Hey, man, thanks for calling in. It was our pleasure to see you last night. And again, a happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
All right, Brian Westbrook, and you gave him $40.
Yeah, I gave him $40. A dollar for every year. Every year, my mom sends me a card.
Still?
And I open a card. And
damn. My mom stopped when I was 21.
Yeah.
Trey, you didn't give me $24.
What the hell, Trey?
Jeez, she's asking for a present.
Damn. Damn. I thought Dion had you covered.
Damn, bro.
Why you put me on blast like that?
I got Aunt Julie still sends me $5. It's like, I enjoy it.
Awesome.
Still sends me $5. I'm like, Angel, you don't got to do this anymore. She's like, well, you're always...
Go get a shorty. That's what I would do with it. I would get a shorty.
Always my nephew.
It's $24, Sam? That's what it is?
No, wait, hold on, Trey. You've got to give it to her now.
I'm just kidding. Don't actually.
You will make her feel so guilty.
In the pockets and everything.
Oh, yeah, I only have $11. I mean, I think this 10 is counterfeit, but we'll see.
Monopoly money.
For just $24, you can make Sam feel guilty for life. That's a price right there. Lamar, real quick, Southwest Philly, Lamar, Jalen Ramsey, you want him? We lost him, unfortunately, but you know what?
He was going to say yes.
You just heard me. I'm sure he was. You just heard me talking about Mrs. T's, but you know what? Here you go. If you want a $500 Visa gift card and you want a year's supply of Mrs. T's pierogies, Mrs. T's pierogies is hosting the Mrs. T's pierogies tailgate showdown with me, Mark Farzetta, Anthony Gargano, Mike Misnelli on Sunday, October 6th at the... And of course, the tailgate there. Three finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for a grand prize. Go to 975thefanatics.com. Enter your recipe. The contest entry period ends September 30th. Three finalists will be selected from all the entries to compete for the best winning recipe for a chance to win the grand prize. See official contest rules for all details. And hey, if you don't have a recipe but you want to attend the event, go to the contest page and you can enter to win an invitation to the event. Sam Wilson, what was the final on our Twitter poll?
This morning we asked, do you want Howie to trade for Jalen Ramsey? We had just under 3,000 votes today. 80% said yes, absolutely.
They ain't scared. They ain't scared. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is, Trey, you can keep your birthday present to me if you wear your aerodynamic suit in the studio.
Nope. That's only for on the road.
I'll give you the $24,
Trey. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
Yeah, I don't care. Do Jalen Ramsey, whatever.
Thank you.
Caution to the wind. Who cares?
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Like Jack, I am slipping away on the Phillies ever so slightly off into the waters. I will go under soon, and you will never.
Can I be
wrong?
And just kill you.
That was.
You want to push me in? Feel free.
That was Jack from the Titanic, by the way, folks. That's the Jack he's referring to. Trey Thomas, take away.
I'm still holding on.
Yeah, was my game. Give up.
I'm still holding
five
on.
Five games out.
Smoking crack.
That's right.
Maybe.
My takeaway of the day: you missed out on Jadeveon Clowney. You missed out on Minka Fitzpatrick. And you know what? Maybe you missed out on Minka Kelly, too. You never know. You never know these things.
She's hot.
She is lovely. You can't miss out on Jalen Ramsey. Get it done. Howie needs to wow me. Tommy the Fanatic, 953.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.